It's record.
Pack it up. That's okay. You're a method actor.
Are you guys okay if we record that?
Yes.
Okay.
Feel free to have some shumai.
I have some mango sticky rice balls. They're kind of left over from last night, but they're amazing. Libby made them. We should eat them. First thing,
I think we should find out what shumai are.
They're way tasty. I'm a heathen and I eat with my fingers.
Everyone's born with the Viking napkin.
All fun.
Nice. That's really good. I still have no idea what it is. It's really good.
It's just cabbage and shrimp and wonton fried.
I think these are steamed. I think shumai is steamed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you two do not drink, but I would offer you wine.
We also have milk.
If I was one of the alien nation aliens, I'd get all drunk on some milk.
Alien nation?
I remember Alien Nation. Oh, you didn't watch TV.
Yeah, I didn't watch TV either, so.
There's a movie and then a TV show about aliens that come to Earth, and they look kind of like humans, but.
Wow.
Different.
And I'm they not get the drunk off one.
Of sour milk.
I'm not the only one at the table who doesn't drink, and I'm not the only one who has no idea what a TV reference is.
Hooray! You're the outcast this time.
I am.
Or at least the minority.
I am the voice of big media.
Be all about it. So,
there may come a day when I ask you to explain Transformers. In that case, I still am kind of confused.
Why don't they just stay as robots the whole time? We can baffle together. It'll be okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, Baron found me this awesome program called Scrapbook that it saves web pages and then you can highlight on them and view them offline.
Oh, sweet.
And then you can also do inline notation. Which, where did I put
what?
It? Yeah, just a sec, where did I put it? So, like this one, see how it has the red light? It pops up under junk food, instant gratification versus cooking, which is the note I put in. So you can change it, and it's amazing. But that's what I'm... I love it, and I recommend it highly. So, the things that...
it seems the main themes when I was looking over this were, of junk food. What we had initially in our first meeting called junk food is in the article that you sent me, just called input as opposed to information.
And a life hack.
Yeah. And so it's the idea of just reaching out to make sure you're still connected. I mean, just getting all these Twitter updates at night.
Yeah. I'm in the kitchen. That's great. I didn't learn anything new.
Oh, after rereading that article, I spent all day today like, more emphatic communication. No. More emphatic communication. At the end of it.
It's good. So I wonder about the... But the other thing that came up was, like, growing your own food, like, creating your own information and being responsible before you pass it on, of making sure that it's actually useful to the community. So you're just being like, look, I found a neat YouTube video. Here, look at it. So it seems to be changing things into input rather than information. It kind of reminded me about how if you ever find a wild strawberry, they're really small and they're really intense flavor. But because what we as Americans like to find in the supermarket are these huge, luscious fruit, it has no flavor to it, and so through the process of passing it on, we've kind of taken all the nutritional value out of it. If that makes sense. That was my...
It's going to be a lot of food metaphors tonight.
Yeah. It's a good thing you
brought it. It's nice, tasty.
It was. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it was more fun.
So that was my first blush at this. And there were two quotes that stood out. One was the, if you are what you eat, can you be what you think? And the other one was, where did it go? I don't know. The other one was something else. Exactly. Yes.
That we're not just getting more input that's designed to be little twittery pings about what we had for breakfast, we're also getting stuff that's specifically designed to be catchy or grab our attention as input, and that's not changed so much since the overt marketing, but...
Do you think that ties into the medium of the message sort of thing? I mean, everything ties into that, because it's...
Because Marshall said so.
Yeah, exactly. God damn it.
Yeah. I know it's less... I don't think it's directly responsible for cutting out a lot of the information we get, but I don't think that... What I'm trying to say is, I don't think that catchiness is directly opposed to information content.
Yeah.
But I...
We have an infatuation with people who are witty. So Oscar Wilde can say very complex ideas in a very short sentence, also mixes in a lot of very silly crap stuff sometimes because he can get away with it because we find the way he says things to be... We seek out the way he says things.
Maybe.
I don't know. I just throw shit out.
I think some people value clever. I think maybe some people distrust it. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe some people trust sincerity more than clever. I don't know that that's a general rule. It could be. I think I didn't participate in the original talk on information diet, so this was all kind of new to me as I was going through it. My first thought was that I disagreed with the basic premise of that article.
Okay.
I didn't think that the author's distinction between inputs and information was legitimate. But I did agree with his tips for having a high information diet. I thought those were mostly pretty smart. Or I don't know why I just... When I think of information overload, like the first example that comes to mind is going to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And by the end of the day, if I see one more beautiful painting, I'm going to punch somebody in the face. Because I just get to the point where it numbs me. Like I've seen so much culture in a handful of hours that I can't handle it. And I think that that's related, using a gastration metaphor, I think that that's related to the time that it takes us to assimilate and digest information.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have all this information coming at us all the time, some of it's more meaningful and some of it isn't. But anything that tells me something, anything that tells me something I don't already know is information. You can Twitter me that you're cooking dinner. That's information. It may not be useful information, but it's information.
Unless you are hiding in the stove, and then it is useful information.
Right. Right. And I think that a lot of these, like, sort of Twitter communications and things like that sort of border on cliché, like, as far as their information content. I mean, they may tell you something, but they don't tell you much. And mm-hmm. you have a whole bunch of that. It can be kind of, just be noisy, really. Yeah.
We create a lot of noise mixed in with our signal. And I think filtering ourselves in how we deal with things is going to be a key component to healthy groups. Groups that actually share things and are able to process them to any degree of depth. And I have a friend on Google Reader that shares 17 things a day, and I have friends that will share one or two things every other day, and it's, I'm able to read the fewer shared items because I know that they've really thought about it before they've shared it. And so I think by actively parsing the, I'm picking up so much lingo from all of the conversations that we have, that's okay. By everyone kind of taking a chunk and filtering it and then sharing just a little bit, it seems like we're going through a lot more. I'm still interested in steampunk, even though it's not really my thing, because Libby just shares the cool parts with me. Just like the high information, this is really cool, it's not just shiny pictures that I'm gonna look at once and then forget, it's something I'm actually gonna reference back to again at some point. And so while I'm willing to use the dietary stuff, I'm willing to consume all of her feed because I actually know I'm going to get substance out of it. I don't want to look at my other friend's feed because it takes so much mucking to get through to something that makes sense.
Well, if you have a cook that you trust, right, you can go to them and say, hey, give me your special.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not going to just take it.
I do want to put in one part where the analogy breaks down completely,
mm-hmm.
which is that there's a distinction between taking in information and learning anything. And part of learning is you get neural weights and you break down the bits that are unimportant. I mean, they're finding that you do it in your sleep. It's a part of it. And some of that hypersaturation is that you have no weights in your system. There's so much that you've connected up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way in which that strengthens learning because, like, for example, I was looking at transformations this weekend and it applied equally well to filtering music and to what I'd been trying to learn about camera apertures. And
mm-hmm.
so being able to connect ideas topically is nice, but when you have 500 articles on a single topic, it's exactly like being in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And just, if you read one more thing...
Yeah. It becomes a... There comes a point when your ball of knowledge is too bulky to be of any use. At least that's how I interpret that. Or it's like, if I add anything else onto this, I'm going to be so caught up in... Well, but in this instance, this happens, and in this instance, this happens, and in the 1920s, we came in this style, but in the 1924, this thing happened. But maybe that's just my... I'm also crap at writing, so maybe that's my inability to represent that information with everything connected to it in a way that's not confusing. But the world is confusing.
No, you tend to condense down pretty well.
That's after
What I mean is you didn't condense down very well, but I would not expect an expository thing from you with as much on the.
It's difficult to put into all of the exceptions. I don't know. I'm getting off topic. I don't know if it matters if you get off topic. Yes. Things.
Stuff. Oh, I was just raising a toast. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's what I do. I need to just wait till it comes. Bad idea. So with all the stuff that's available to us now, as far as information goes, how do we start to deal with that?
I think there's something that occurred to me today that I did want to mention, and I think this is as good a time as I need to mention it. I think that there needs to be... I think that people need to be taught how to have a personal sense of integrity, and how to... how to determine for themselves what is useful information. I see that becoming a bigger and bigger problem, possibly. You know, now we have so many different points of view and so many different ways to look at something. And at some point, I think the question becomes, what matters to you? Like, you know, yeah, you can argue it this way, that way, and the other, but which argument is worth arguing? Like, what's going to give you something that you can act on and not be just what somebody else is telling you to do? Because that's what's happening. Like, there's so many different ways that people can be pulled that they're just going to vacillate all over the place. From one lead to the next. Unless they have, I think possibly, unless they have the ability, this may be a little unnecessary, but I tend to break it down into meditation and contemplation. So the ability to select one thing and focus on that one thing and shut out the other things. And then contemplation being the ability to look deeply into that thing and consider it profoundly, and not just sort of a surface grazing kind of way that we deal with a lot of the information that comes our way. I mean, I get, you know, 50 emails a day from all kinds of sources, and a lot of times, you know, they'll pull my attention this way or that, but I don't really sit and think about what do they mean with any kind of appreciable complexity. Like, some of them might be neat, and some of them not, but,
That maps pretty well cognitively to the abilities of your attention. Having selectional attention, being able to pick what thing you're paying attention to versus the duration of your attention. Being able to pay attention to the thing continually, so. I'm not sure I can pick apart the distinction between meditation and contemplation, just because I'd imagine focus being a very immersive thing anyway. I can't really imagine them being separated.
Yeah, I kind of see meditation and contemplation as two sides of the same.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
But, I think that I'm concerned about people losing the ability to make those fundamental decisions. Like, what is in my best interest? I have so many people telling me what I should wear and, you know, what I should think ideologically and what I should think religiously and, you know, where I can go to school and how I can do this and how I can do that. And so why would I want to do any of those things? Other than superficial reasons, like being cool, you know, keeping up with my peers or doing what the state says I should do, or the church says I should do, or the media channel says that I should do. I mean, in a way, this isn't a new issue, but I think that just the incredible availability of options is going to make it really important for people to have some sort of mechanism for making a decision.
I think in this case, one of the things I'm really hesitant about with the idea of presenting for information diets is I remember backpedaling really hard when somebody asked me to nail down what makes good information, because I'm much less concerned with answering that than I am with just asking the question. I would really like to ask the questions. I'm not sure that I'm comfortable answering them, because it's a really deeply personal thing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's... I mean, they're, to tie into the dietary thing, or just as an example of how individuated people are, is, like, they're figuring out that certain blood types have to do if you tend towards vegetarianism or being omnivore, how much red meat you eat, etc., because you come from a different background that needs different things for the way your body performs at its peak. And so even just that you need something different than the person next to you means that it's difficult, if not impossible, to say these are the things that everybody needs. I mean, everybody's food pyramid is actually different. It's just no one wants to spend the time to figure it out for themselves. Now we have the information out there that makes it relatively easy to figure that out for yourself. But I think that it's okay to present the question and explain why it's important to ask as a presentation.
Yeah, and maybe options of these are different types of information and different ways of accessing it. I know I haven't come anywhere near answering how I want that to be with myself, but I've started to play with it more. And that's been good. For example, with Twitter, I haven't actually been on here yet. I went on a 2-week-long experiment of what would happen if I Twittered to a private account that I just didn't tell anybody about. Because I'm pulling the public domain into the private instead of the private into the public. And it will be followed by further really, really annoying Twitter experiments that you may
I like
choose
your
to unfriend me from.
11:46 free time. Choose. I like that sort of thing. But, sorry, Libby said that she might show up, so I was checking my phone. I don't think she will. She's actually wrong. So I think it's okay to ask those questions and to say, look, there's all this stuff available, and you have to, as Joshua said, figure out what's important to you. And but there's so much available now. When I first went to college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was like, well, I'm supposed to go to college because that's what we do in my family, so I'll go. And through taking all these different classes, I was exposed to things that I never would have been exposed to before, and found sociology, which I was very into, and then through sociology found transhumanism, which I'm obviously very into now. It's, you know, what I enjoy doing with all of my time. But through exposure of new things, I was able to find that, but I also wasn't having to take one new class every day. which seems like there's so much information available that you could almost have like one class a day that's 5 hours long and learn a whole lot about that, and then go to a different class the next day and figure out a whole lot about that. So without people regulating for themselves, and not just what's important to me, but what's an appropriate amount of time to spend on something to figure out if you've gotten everything that you want to get out of it.
I think that ties into really just priority ranking in your life. I mean, it's, and that's sort of what I meant by the, we used to have the idea that information is good and we need as much of it as we possibly can get, because God knows we're not getting very much.
Yeah.
And there was a time for a love of information, and specifically coming from a geek culture standpoint, where it's, information is good and to be revered and loved, and yes, it's good, but what does it do? It's kind of stopped being a shiny object, and I really like it to be a tool.
Yeah. I had a conversation with Michael recently. Mike got really upset at me for telling him how silly I think trivia is. Were you there for that?
No, I just... Thank you.
Our friend Michael is very into history and language, and he's brilliant, but he knows a whole lot of trivia.
It's
right, which I stated, you know, or somebody that I was with was like, it's worthless. Well, I don't think it is, because he comes up against all of these little things in life where he's like, no, I don't think that's right, where people make incorrect references and they're basing an assumption on an incorrect reference. Well,
which I can see uses for trivia. I mean, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are lots of times that come up where, for whatever reason, because you know, your daughter's asking you, hey, you know, when was the whatever frickin' edict to sign something? I suck at history.
Right.
I am awful at it. I'm awful with trivial numbers. I hate playing Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah.
I lose every time.
Totally.
I do. Pie pieces. I mean,
also, with not growing up religious or with TV.
I associate trivia with the ability to memorize facts, which has value, but it isn't the same thing as the ability to critically analyze something or the ability to create something or be generative.
Although in context, I mean, if what is into its history, having some of those details to flesh out, in the same way that if what I was into was botany, I would want to know the names of specific plants.
Even though that's very Victorian to want to know the name of the plant that you're studying, but it's how we communicate. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if he's a historian, then knowing what happened in history is probably...
He's actually a chocolatier.
Pretty relevant. That's cool. I think that... I think that we have often associated trivia with intelligence. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who can say, oh, well, so-and-so is the king of such-and-such at this time. Wow, you're brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, if that's useful at any time.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something to be said for that, because, you know, back when we couldn't just go on Wikipedia to find answers for things, you know, if you wanted to know a lot about the world, you had to read about the world, and you had to remember things about the world. And, you know, people who were able to reason well, you know, often knew a lot of facts about, you know, things, and could, so they could appropriately use metaphor and use different things in arguments and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Build memory palaces and bullshit.
Just racking my brain over the last 3 years, and I can't remember the last time someone used knowledgeable as a compliment anymore.
Really?
Well, like, knowledgeable is disappearing as a... They're really knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Not as much. It just doesn't have the same... When you can go...
Yeah. Or you're really intelligent. Just don't know how to use the tool. Please don't.